This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Indians roll in Game 1. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Kashchenka on this Wednesday, October 26th. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Trying to end a 68-year World Series drought, the Cleveland Indians buried the Chicago Cubs in the opener, winning 6-0. Game 2's tonight.
In politics, Republicans hammer away at Obamacare after the White House admitted that health insurance premiums are rising with fewer plans to choose from.
On the tech front, Microsoft is hosting a Windows 10 event today in New York City. Tomorrow, expectations are that Apple will announce upgrades to its Mac.
And the new big thing in the kitchen, smaller appliances.
Millennials are buying their first homes, which can be a smaller space, and then baby boomers are downsizing. But both groups love having their kitchen be the centerpiece of their home. And so with these smaller spaces, they're realizing the sense in putting a slightly smaller appliance into the kitchen.
Wall Street Journal reporter Ellen Byron on what's new in appliances. Her report in about 20 minutes. The Cleveland Indians took Game 1 of the World Series last night, 6-0. Over the Chicago Cubs, manager Terry Francona is now 9-0 in World Series games. The winner of Game 1, by the way, has won 12 of the last 13 World Series championships and 24 of the last 28. The Indians are seeking their first title since 1948. Here's the final out from Tom Hamilton on WTAM Radio.
Allen's pitch. Swing and a miss. Ball game. And the Indians have won Game 1 of the 2016 World Series.
Corey Kluber, who could win his second Cy Young Award in 3 years, got the victory. He's 3-1. Get this, with a 0.74 ERA this postseason. Kluber set a World Series record by striking out 8 of the first 9 batters. Kluber was actually traded by the Cubs' current general manager, Jed Hoyer, when they needed a bat. In a 3-way deal, they got Ryan Ludwig, who's not even playing anymore. Light-hitting catcher Roberto Perez led the Indians' offense with 2 homers and 4 RBI, including a 3-run shot in the 8th. Republicans are ripping the White House after the Obama administration announced sharp increases for premiums for President Obama's signature health care law and said many consumers would be down to just one insurer. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump, while campaigning in Tampa, emphatically declared Obamacare to be over.
And Hillary Clinton wants to keep it. She wants to spend a fortune on it. She wants to keep it. And your numbers are going to get up, 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 and it's going to get worse, worse, worse. Repeal it and replace it.
Before taxpayer-provided subsidies, premiums for a mid-level plan will increase an average of 25%. Across the 39 states served by the federally run online market. Meanwhile, Mr. Trump yesterday suggested employees at his Trump National Doral property in Miami are being harmed by Obamacare, but later reversed himself after Doral's general manager said the resort provides health insurance coverage to nearly all its 1,200 employees, so there's no need for the vast majority to purchase Obamacare. Hillary Clinton is encouraging her supporters to vote early. It's part of her campaign strategy, locking down much of her support before Election Day arrives. So far, stats from Florida and other states suggest Democrats are voting early in larger numbers than they did in 2012. At an early voting rally at Broward College yesterday, Mrs. Clinton told supporters they can vote through November 6th.
It's going to be a close election. Pay no attention to the polls. Don't get complacent. Because we've got to turn people out.
On the first day of in-person early voting in Florida, which was Monday, nearly 300,000 people cast ballots, with 46% of them reportedly registered Democrats, 37% were registered Republicans. Jennifer Palmieri, Mrs. Clinton's communications director, said Mrs. Clinton's travel schedule this week is focused on states, including Florida, where large numbers of people will vote early. She said travel at the very end of the campaign will be concentrated in states where the bulk of voters cast ballots on Election Day. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Mailing your letters and packages has just gotten a lot easier thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can mail and ship anything, anywhere, using just your computer and printer. No more trips to the post office. Anyone can do it. Just click, print, and mail. With Stamps.com, you buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk. Stamps.com will do all the work for you. They'll even give you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail. And setup is easy, too. In minutes, you'll be printing your very own postage. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A four-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Then before you do anything else, click on the microphone. It's at the top of the homepage and type in the promo code DEAL. That's Stamps.com. Then enter the promo code DEAL. Good Wednesday to you. Donald Trump is ripping pollsters and the media, arguing the surveys that show him trailing Hillary Clinton are biased against him because many include too many Democrats in their sampling surveys. That said, there are a trio of national polls that show the race between Mr. Trump and Mrs. Clinton is a toss-up. More about polling from Jonathan Easley, politics reporter at The Hill. Jonathan, what do we have?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's obviously provoked by what we're hearing come out of Donald Trump, as he's saying, you know, he doesn't trust the polls, and he's, I guess, accusing the media, essentially, of hiding the polls to show him in the lead. Now, if you look at the Real Clear Politics national average, I mean, Clinton's opened up about a six-point lead here. There are some polls that show her up by 12. There's most of them, though, in that range of 5 to 8 points, I think, nationally. But anyway, there's three of them that conservative media and Trump have kind of seized on, and they show the race quite closer. Either Trump ahead one of them shows Clinton ahead one, and then another one that shows that they're tied. So some of these folks are grabbing onto these polls, essentially saying, look, like, I mean, you know, everything else about this race has been completely upside down and volatile this year. Why couldn't these polls be right and the others wrong? So basically Trump and his supporters are seizing on those to show it's a closer race than the media is portraying it. I mean, you know, with a lot of these things, they have to be taken with a grain of salt. The pollsters I talked to in some cases had issues with some of the polls that showed it being a tighter race. But I did talk to the pollsters for those polls that were in question, and they're sticking by their methods. So, I mean, it's kind of a thing we'll find out in 14 days, but I think the bulk of the data indicates that Clinton has about a 5 to 8 point lead.
Why is it so difficult these days to be a pollster, Jonathan?
Well, there's quite a few reasons. I mean, Trump has made it more difficult. He's such an unconventional candidate. We haven't really seen an election cycle like this where both the candidates are historically unpopular. You know, there's assumptions that these pollsters make when they're doing their polls about who's going to turn out and what a likely voter looks like. And it's just a little bit harder to model what a likely voter looks like. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Trump has an advantage in enthusiasm. His supporters are likely to show up. And that should be a good thing. But also, there's quite a few Republicans that might not show up because they're troubled by some of the things that Trump has said and done. We've seen some white college-educated voters that typically Republicans can count on to show up at the polls for them are you know, maybe not going to this time around. We don't know exactly what's going to happen with this, you know, burgeoning subset of millennial voters and whether they're going to turn out. And so all that's kind of unfolding amid a backdrop of a polling industry that's had issues in recent election cycles, moving from landline polls into cell phones and internet-based polling and that kind of thing. So it's just kind of, it's in a lot of cases more of an art than a science, which I think is why some Trump supporters think that, hey, maybe a lot of these mainstream pollsters are getting it wrong.
We're speaking with Jonathan Easley, campaigns reporter at The Hill. His piece is called War Over Polls Intensifies. Does the intensity ramp up the closer you get to Election Day?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, it's we have 2 weeks from today. Everyone's going to be heading to the polls. And Trump is kind of making the argument right now that we typically hear from the losing candidate. If you're going to war with the polls or the polling methods or just seizing on one or two rather than where things look from a 50,000 foot view, you're usually going to be losing. If you remember in 2012, the same thing was going on essentially. You had conservatives claiming that the polls were skewed against Mitt Romney. They didn't think that the samples that the pollsters were using, which they typically in presidential election years weight more towards Democrats, just because that's what turnout typically is in a presidential election year. There are more Democrats that turn out or registered than Republicans.
Thanks, Jonathan. Jonathan Easley, politics reporter at The Hill. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is here. She has more of America's First News.
Gordon, the Washington Post says Donald Trump's presidential campaign committee has no more fundraising events scheduled before next month's election. The events are meant to support the GOP's get-out-the-vote efforts for November 8th and are a vital source of money for Republicans helping to maintain power in Congress. Trump's finance chairman says the candidate is focusing on making his final pitch to voters. Trump and Hillary Clinton spent a muggy Tuesday in Florida where the Republicans stressed repealing the Affordable Care Act while Mrs. Clinton tried to get out the vote.
If you will stand with me, if you will work with me over the next 2 weeks, let's go out and build the kind of future we want for ourselves, for our kids, and let's prove once and for all that love trumps hate.
Trump running mate Governor Mike Pence spent some time in Florida, Ohio rather, attacking Obamacare.
You got former President Bill Clinton saying premiums are going up. Coverage is going down. It's the craziest thing in the world. I mean, even with the Clintons, sometimes truth happens.
Between now and Election Day, President Obama has a packed schedule of campaign events for Clinton and for Democrats running for Senate and House seats. But after Election Day, his last overseas trip as president will take him to Germany, Greece, and Peru. He leaves November 15th. North Carolina is investigating some 200 price gouging complaints made during Hurricane Matthew. The state attorney general's office has issued subpoenas requiring those businesses to explain the hikes. More than half of U.S. adults with mental health issues aren't getting treatment. That's one of the key findings of the report by the nonprofit Mental Health America. It ranks each state based on more than a dozen criteria, including the number of adults and kids with a mental illness, availability of healthcare professionals, and the number of uninsured adults. The report puts Connecticut first and Nevada last. And it's the Indians with a 6-0 win over the Cubs in Game 1 of the World Series in Cleveland. Roberto Perez hit a solo homer, a 3-run shot for the Indians, who are trying for their first championship game since 1948. Cubs haven't won since 1908. Game 2 tonight in Cleveland.
Very good. Thank you, Rasa. It is 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. When it comes to kitchen appliances these days, the new big thing is going small. Wall Street Journal reporter Ellen Byron says after years of touting supersize ovens, hulking refrigerators, and ever larger washers, manufacturers are rethinking. Ellen, what's going on?
Well, because there is actually a subtle change happening with American housing. Millennials are buying their first homes, which can be a smaller space, and then baby boomers are downsizing into retirement homes. But both groups love cooking, and they love having their kitchen be the centerpiece of their home. And so with these smaller spaces, they're realizing the sense in putting a slightly smaller appliance into the kitchen.
Wow. All right. So, but where do you store stuff?
That is coming with its own set of organizational adventures, but but essentially, and by no means are these appliances miniature either, but what people are realizing is that it doesn't make sense to necessarily have a hulking 60-inch wide stove in their kitchen if their kitchen isn't a sprawling space. And so they are actually open to 24-inch cooktops, which is a big shift because forever marketers and consumers have been so excited to see just how big they can go with their appliances.
I see. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Ellen Byron. Her piece is called The Incredible Shrinking Refrigerator, talking about how kitchen appliances are getting smaller now. So who's making what here? What's available?
There are refrigerator drawers, dishwasher drawers, and microwave drawers, and those fit under your counter. and even behind custom paneling. We've got those coming from manufacturers like Thermador and Sub-Zero. Wolf, which is really famous for their red knob giant ranges that can go up to 60 inches. They're now down to 24 inches for a cooktop. And then they sell customizable modules that are 15 inches. And so even if you have a smaller cooking space but you love to cook, you can still have things like a small grill or a wok, for example, even a deep fryer. Again, a lot of these are European manufacturers who already sell these sizes in Europe and Asia, but they never bothered in the U.S. because there just wasn't demand, and now there is.
No kidding. What's the price on some of this stuff?
There are thousands of dollars. Okay. So this is the biggest push in this trend is at the highest end. And so you will definitely pay. And the other interesting thing is that even if you go smaller, it's not that much cheaper. For example, the difference between a Bosch 18-inch dishwasher and a 24-inch dishwasher, mm-hmm. both of those are small sizes for dishwashers, yeah. cost the same. And then KitchenAid came out with a smaller stand mixer. And even though it is lighter and smaller than the classic stand mixer that so many Americans have on their counter, it actually only costs $30 less. And the company says it does have the same power to it. And then other manufacturers say, look, even though they're smaller, they're still luxury performance powerhouses that need a high price tag.
Thanks, Ellen. Wall Street Journal reporter Ellen Byron in New York. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday, October 26. Gordon Deal with Rasa K., who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Indians beat the Cubs Game 1 of the World Series. New WikiLeaks emails show how Hillary's private server was a deep concern for her staff and even President Obama. Vatican says cremated remains should be buried, not scattered or kept at home. Tech news. For the first time, a self-driving vehicle made a commercial delivery. It was a 120-mile trip between cities in Colorado with beer. And the funny reason why a woman in Texas would like her husband re-elected to local office. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, the news about Obamacare has not been good lately. You've heard the White House this week admitted that premiums for a mid-level plan will increase sharply across the 39 states served by the federally run online market. Some states will see much bigger jumps. On top of that, there are fewer plans to pick from. If there's any good news, it's that a new report on employer-sponsored plans by the Commonwealth Fund finds that our contributions and our deductibles grew more slowly between 2010 and 2015 in a little more than half the states. But you don't notice that when your wages don't keep pace with healthcare costs. We're joined now by Sarah Collins, Vice President of Healthcare Coverage and Access at the Commonwealth Fund. She's with us live. Good morning, Sarah. Give us some of these findings from your study.
Well, thank you for having me. We wanted to focus on employer coverage because the majority of people get health insurance through their employers, about 154 million people. And we wanted to really see what had happened to premiums since the Affordable Care Act went into effect in the employer market. And what we find is that premiums in employer plans grew more slowly on average in the 5 years following implementation of the law than they did in the 5 years prior in about 33 states in the District of of Columbia. We also found that employees, what employees pay, their share of the premium, also rose more slowly over that time period in about 30 states and the district. We also see a slowdown in growth in deductibles in about half the states, but growth really does remain pretty high for deductibles. So people are continuing to see pretty high deductibles in their health plans. But what's concerning about these trends, even though we are seeing a slowdown in costs, because people's incomes are continuing, not haven't grown that much. There was a little bit of an increase, a surge in employee in incomes last year, but many families are finding that they're spending more of their income on their health care costs simply because their incomes haven't risen very much.
All right, so how do we get to no growth when it comes to premiums and deductibles? That'd be nice.
Right. Well, we've seen a slowdown because we've in premiums because we've actually seen a slowdown across the country in healthcare cost growth. So there's less healthcare is a little less expensive. This is a really positive trend for everybody. It's showing up in people's wallets. I mean, you're seeing the effects of slower healthcare growth in what people pay for their premiums and their healthcare.
What's the reason for that? Is there a for that slower growth?
There have been significant changes in the way that healthcare is delivered, and we're continuing to see those happen across the country. We're seeing changes in the way that providers are paid. The Affordable Care Act brought a lot of change to the Medicare program and how providers are paid, and that some of that has filtered into the rest of the insurance market. And so those have been really positive changes, and you know, we hope that those will continue in the future, and hope that we can continue to see lower growth in healthcare costs.
We're speaking live this morning with Sarah Collins, Vice President of Healthcare Coverage and Access at the Commonwealth Fund. Do you anticipate that at some point in the near future we'll see, say, more significant changes to health insurance?
You know, the big concern right now is what people have to spend on their deductibles. And so deductibles continue to climb relatively fast every year, and people are seeing higher deductibles every year. More plans have them, and they're a lot bigger. So what we hope to see is a change in the way that employers and insurance companies design people's benefits so they're not seeing these big deductibles, because we know that when people have high deductibles, they tend not to get the health care that they need, and they can also see really big medical bills when they go to the doctor unexpectedly, for example. So hopefully employers will change the way they're designing benefits to reduce people's deductibles and what they have to pay when they go to the doctor.
What's the biggest issue right now, or what's the biggest cost driver? Is it prescription medication?
The prescriptions are a big risk. There has been a surge in the cost of prescription drugs. That is a risk to this continued low growth in costs that I mentioned. So that is a big concern. Policymakers are focused on what we can do about that. But it is a really big concern.
I know that some people like to point out that other countries, like Germany, for example, if I'm recalling correctly, have, say, better healthcare outcomes, and they pay far less for things like prescription meds. Is that a fair comparison, U.S. versus Germany, the way things are done?
Absolutely, and there's a lot that the United States can learn from other countries and how they pay providers, how they pay pharmaceutical companies, the way in which they negotiate rates with providers. So there's a great deal that we can learn from other countries in terms of how we can control our healthcare spending.
So it's not necessarily, say, an apples-orange comparison comparing to, say, I don't know, socialized medicine.
No, because many European countries have insurance systems that are similar to what we've seen develop under the Affordable Care Act. So it's a privately run insurance system. Insurance companies participate, and there's some subsidies for people that can't afford coverage through the markets. So by making the changes in the individual market, we're actually moving towards more of a system where more people have coverage, like in other European countries. Right. It's just done through the private system.
Got it. There, Sarah, thanks for a few minutes. Sarah Collins, Vice President at the Commonwealth Fund. It's 19 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Networks Advanced Firewall Solutions. Visit AWS Marketplace or barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.
Glad you're with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's own rambling man, Mike Gavin, is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Well, thank you. Good morning. Think back to when you graduated high school, Gordon, and the senior quote you had printed in your yearbook. Was it a song lyric, a meaningful quote from a famous person? Maybe it was something very poignant like, "See you later, suckers." Some people have done that. Well, 23 years ago, one guy decided to make a World Series prediction, which now has a chance to come true. According to a post that went viral on Reddit yesterday, a man named Michael Lee, who graduated from Mission Viejo High School in California in 1993, wrote as his senior quote, "Chicago Cubs, 2016 World Champions. You heard it here first."
What?
Before you cry foul that it's just a Photoshop creation, it's been verified by other people who own the same yearbook. So why did California kid Michael pick the Cubs to win in 2016? Well, we don't know, because at last check he hadn't come forward to explain his prediction. One of his classmates says that Michael actually does live in Chicago now, and he, along with many Cubs fans, might want to keep things on the down low so as not to jinx the team.
Wow. How about that? That's pretty interesting. A random throw out of events there.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Pretty good.
And as we told you yesterday, Gordon, you might want to think twice before taking a selfie while voting this year. The practice is illegal in more than a dozen states, including Tennessee, where Justin Timberlake was on Monday casting his early vote and posting a photo on his Instagram page encouraging his 37 million followers to head to the polls and do the same. Unfortunately, Tennessee law expressly prohibits voters from using a phone for conversations, recording, or taking photos or videos while inside the polling place. The law was implemented last year, and Timberlake could potentially become the first person prosecuted for breaking it, should the DA's office move forward with any charges. The office says that the matter is, quote, under review. Any person convicted of this violation could be sentenced up to 30 days or fined no more than $50, or both.
Mm. Farewell, Justin. It was nice knowing you. Yeah, away you go.
We'll see you in 30 days.
Jeez, come on.
Or $50. That seems like a little out of bounds, doesn't it? 30 days or $50.
That's right.
Here you go. Here's 50, and here's 50 more, another 50 after that. I'm not going to jail for 30 days.
If there was only the one photo, it doesn't look like there was anything revealing. Like, you can tell like what he did or who he voted for. So
right.
I think in the spirit of the law, he would be all right. Well, what do I know?
Yes.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Rasa K is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, former House Speaker and Trump supporter Newt Gingrich got into a seething argument with Fox host Megyn Kelly last night while discussing media bias and allegations of sexually inappropriate behavior against Donald Trump, allegations Gingrich thinks could be made against a certain member of the Clinton campaign.
Do you want to comment on whether the Clinton ticket has a relationship to a sexual predator?
We on the Kelly file have covered that story as well, sir. I will tell you the polls.
I want to hear you use the words. I want to hear your words. Bill Clinton, sexual predator. I dare you.
The presidential hopefuls are tearing up the campaign trail in key swing states today. Hillary Clinton will spend her 69th birthday in Florida. Donald Trump will start the day with a ribbon cutting at his new hotel in Washington, D.C., then head to North Carolina. Mike Pence will campaign in Nevada and Colorado. Tim Kaine will hold events today in Pennsylvania. Four of the eight tires on a bus that crashed into the back of a trailer on Interstate 10 near Palm Springs Sunday had unsafe tread levels. National Transportation Safety Board member Earl Wiener says that alone might have been enough to keep the vehicle out of service, but he says it was not required to have seat belts.
It was not manufactured during a time when seat belts were required. So I can't say that we've got any requirements for seatbelts use on these kinds of older buses.
13 people died in that crash. Cleveland had a sports night I won't soon forget. The Cavaliers received their NBA championship rings and raised a banner inside Quicken Loans Arena for the city's first title since 1964. LeBron James fought back tears.
On behalf of my teammates and I, the coaching staff, the front office, the owners, this is for you guys. This is all for you.
And there was more joy in Cleveland as the Indians won Game 1 of the World Series next door at Progressive Field. Here we go again. Pokemon Go is using Halloween to try to lure players back. Game maker Niantic Labs launches its first ever in-game event today. It runs through Tuesday. The Halloween-themed event earns Pokemon Go players extra candy through regular activities or finding new, more frequent, spooky characters.
Rasa, when you play Pokemon Go, do you like to go to, say, public buildings, or you prefer a park?
You're asking if I play Pokemon Go.
See what I did there?
You're so funny.
See how I tried to pin you into that?
You are so funny.
Yeah, you and me both. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at Dell.com/radio. Thanks for being with us. It's not necessarily his work ethic or attention to detail results in office. The wife of a Texas county commissioner is pleading in an online campaign video for voters to re-elect her husband so he'll get out of the house. She wants relief from his nonstop talk about issues affecting Travis County.
You know, I think I like helping around the house here.
Please re-elect Gerald. Please.
It's a well-done, tongue-in-cheek ad posted to YouTube. It shows Charlene Daugherty rolling her eyes at the camera and seeking relief from Gerald Daugherty as he talks of tax rates, light rail, and other issues while doing household chores. A couple invited over for a cookout appears exasperated with his breathless chatter about policy matters in the county that includes Austin. Charlene Daugherty says her Republican husband doesn't have any hobbies. Just wants to fix things. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Everyone knows that business is all about numbers. Consider the numbers the state of Michigan can offer your business, like Michigan being one of America's top 10 states for business. Or 2000, the number of burdensome regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6, Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climates, which all adds up to the one state that has all that and more, Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more.